Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge 30-30 Wrap-Up Podcast for episode 15. I am Ryan Cohn. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Usher. Allie, how are you?
I'm great, Brian. It's been a minute. How are you?
I'm doing good. I feel like I always time it that I miss something horrible happening to bananas, I feel like, and kind of worked that again last week.
It is funny because Jonathan texted me, Jonathan Foreman, who generously filled in last week. We had a lot of fun. He texted me that he was rooting for the Yankees for the first time in his life, hoping that he could come back on and you'd miss another week. Not that you wouldn't be here, but that he could get called up again. We had a blast last week. We missed you, though.
I listen to it. I'm always up to speed on the RAP world when I'm not involved. So I listen to it. You guys had a very fun time, it seemed like.
I know. I always say that. Like, I don't like missing the show, but there's always a benefit of, like, we don't get to listen to a challenge podcast on RHAP. So,
right. Yeah.
My professor said something funny today that would just, like, make me feel self-important. Not that I need that anymore. And that's, I really connected with that. So, yeah, I could listen to my own podcast, but I don't need to feel any more self-important than I already do. Anyway.
And we're off.
Come on. Isn't that a slick line?
Yeah, it's suave. It's debonair.
It's very bananas, which is appropriate to start off this this episode.
Yeah, it's the eulogy episode.
Aren't people usually sad at a funeral?
Well, for 50% of the people here.
No, but how sad are you really?
I'm not really that sad. I mean, it's just like the end for him, like this season. It's not like the eulogy, I guess, but yeah. I mean, he'll be back, obviously, so. Wasn't his finest season, I'll say that. Which he acknowledged. Like,
but I don't think it's his fault. Like, I think that this was the right amount of bananas. Like, I didn't really have any qualms with bananas this season because the whole season wasn't dependent on him.
Right. And I think that's probably a good thing for the challenge going forward, because eventually they will have to move on. So if they can start to cultivate some of these other people, that would be good.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like the challenge when you have too much of a good thing, like 15 episodes in, 10 people left. It's like that's the bananas principle. They less bananas, which is good, makes you appreciate him. Too many episodes doesn't really make you appreciate the challenge.
Exactly. Can't have too much candy in your life. Got to mix in some fruit.
I also don't know how many episodes there normally are, but I did look as I'm watching this episode and feeling like, you know, bless your hearts, listeners, for still tuning in with us, because this is, I'm enjoying every episode, but for any show, even your favorite show, this is a lot of a commitment. You know, it's like, it's not Big Brother levels of episodes, but I looked back, Survivor has like 13 episodes. We are well past that. Mm-hmm. It just feels tiring, even though the content is good for me. Are you experiencing that?
It's weird because I did feel that. And then like this, it just feel like the amount of people on this show, it was like very flat for, you know, 90%. And then over the last 2 weeks, it really just feels like it just took a dive and like, oh, I guess the finale is like next week or in 2 weeks, I guess. So, okay, we're here. Like, it just never felt like we would hit the end of the tunnel. And then it was like all of a sudden just boom, we hit the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, that's true. I guess we are really gearing up to pretty much knock out everybody who's not going to make the final next week, and we're off.
I mean, I would imagine the final probably starts at the end of next episode.
You'd imagine that, but given the way this series has been going, I think we're going to have, well, what's the calendar? 3 more episodes or 2 more episodes?
I would say 2 more and the reunion, which the reunion is preposterous that they filmed it like a year ago.
Because I thought we were thinking this kicks through to Thanksgiving.
So let me break out all the
which is 1, 2, 3. Yeah, that's like 4 weeks is the 23rd.
Yeah, so we have the 1st, the 8th, and then the 15th is a reunion, and then it starts on the 21st. So there you go. 2 weeks and a reunion.
All right. Well, whatever. Right? It feels like forever. So I'm tired.
Calendar.
Maybe because you took a week off, you don't feel tired.
I'm fresh. I'm ready to go. I also don't do an Are You the One podcast each week, though, so that helps.
I like that. I'm having fun there.
Oh,
it's
the
not
one
the podcast.
Is such a fun watch. It is enjoyable as hell.
It's not that the podcast contributes to the drag. It's this season has dragged on. And like, yes, it's picking up now, but I'm almost like they've exhausted me through the season that I'm not appreciating that it's picking up.
So what hasn't dragged on was the first, I don't know where I was trying to go with this leading, but we start with the Redemption House. We can start there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just everyone's sour grapes, like Bananas and Jordan, like, oh, we have more champions combined than anyone else in the house. Like, okay, Jordan, like, you're not there, though. Bye. Like, I just feel like this was a lot of sour grapes kicking off the episode.
Yeah, I enjoy their little firework watching montage as they, because they all know they've been in that house for months on end. So now they get to say bon farewell.
The two most interesting things that happened to me, that happened in the Redemption House to open the show are, one, Jemmy's speculation that Bananas actually just has horrible challenge karma and can't win after stealing Sarah's money. And Haley Strong says, how did Johnny get nailed by challenge karma, or is it too soon to tell?
I mean, that was like 1 year ago. So, you know, let's let a few more seasons pile up before we start dropping some curse bombs.
I like it because it's very on brand for Jemmy. Like, it's killing me that she's become this new, like, I'm dreaming things. I'm, you know, pro, like, what is it? All the words that it could mean are blending together. Like, I'm going to say, like, whatever.
She's the challenge medium.
Yeah, she's like got these like kinetic powers. I don't know. I'm not using the right words, but when do I ever? That's not new. But what I don't like about this karma theory is it's not really like giving credit to the fact that like there's been a casting shift and a return to like having other really strong physical players on the season. So it's not giving like enough credit to casting and Bananas' peers. Bananas' or Bananas S apostrophe? Who knows? When you have like CT and Darrell and Derek and Jordan and Leroy, and I'm missing people, I'm sure, all in one season, you know, Bananas is going to get knocked out. He might get knocked out. It's kind of anyone's game.
Yep.
The past few seasons have just been a Bananas like ride to the finish, and his like worst opponent is Corey. Yawn.
Super yawn.
Yawn that bitch.
Man, remember I thought Corey was going to be like the next figurehead of the show? That took a dive.
What took a dive for me is you letting the Hannah Rothman reference just roll right off your back.
Oh, that did not stick with me. My bad. My bad.
All right. So we have to talk about this. The second most interesting thing I thought is they say that Tony is now by himself. Okay. What are they just underestimating Tony, or is Tony playing a good strategic game hiding his alliance with Hunter? So I don't feel like it was really under the radar, but they're like, all they are is like, oh, poor Tony. He's by himself.
Yeah, that was very bizarre. And even Tony was playing it up as that case also. But like, why wouldn't he hang out with Hunter? Like, aren't him and Hunter friends? Like, why was he playing up to that mantra? Like, how would he know that that's what they're saying about him? And then to play it up also.
I mean, I don't think they know that's what they're saying about him, but he's like the only one left in their room. And I think it's like a bit of comedy from Tony for like the show. I don't think he literally sat alone in his room the whole time talking to Wilson, like volleyball.
I guess so. But it's just like it played very well with what they were talking about him at the Redemption House as to what he was doing at the regular.
Yeah,
house.
Editing's a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
they make a good TV show here.
It just worked out very well for them.
But I want to dig into this. Like, what do you think? Because we're not seeing anything. Like, do they just think Tony is blindly loyal and they're not? That he doesn't have good strategy and they totally underestimate him, or what? Like, what is the deal here?
So who would know that him and Hunter have a pact? Because he revealed that at the last like nomination ceremony, right? He's like, I've been working with Hunter.
Well, so he just voted. Just, no, did he say he was working with Hunter? I thought he said he was voting in Derek because Derek said his name.
I thought he said before he said, like, well, I've been like working with Hunter now, so I'm not going to say his name. So I'm just going to say Derek.
I don't recall him saying that to the room.
Okay.
All right, if they're missing that, that's crazy.
Okay, like, so then if he didn't say that, then how would, like, I guess then he is kind of playing it more under the radar, right? That no one would really know that he actually is now working with Hunter.
Well, that's going back to that vote we talked about last week with Jonathan. Tony's really the reason that Leroy went in. Because he voted for Derek against the Alliance and could have voted for Hunter. So to me, if anybody else made that move besides Tony, someone's coming up to him like, what the hell, man? You just exploded the Alliance. But is it that they just don't have any faith in Tony? Or like, what am I missing about this chunk? It's driving me crazy. And I was already close to crazy, so that's not a great fall, like, height to fall from. But.
Yeah, I don't know why they haven't put the pieces together that Tony's against them, because he is. So it's very bizarre that they wouldn't recognize that, because that is what's happening.
Yeah, it's frustrating to me, because I think it's interesting and it's almost doing Tony's story a disservice. Like, if MTV's all over and in love with Tony, like, why aren't they more like showcasing this more? Because this could be like a really great thing Tony is doing somehow. Like, if he's, I want to see him talking to Bananas, talking to Leroy, explaining this to make them think this way. Or is it just they think Tony is so dumb that they're underestimating him?
Yeah, because I mean, they even had a scene about how I think it was Jemmy and I was it Jenna maybe were saying like Tony's like the bitch of the group, that he would never go against them. Well, he did go against them. So it is weird that they wouldn't follow that up with a scene of Tony actually showing that he would go against them.
Right. It's strange. And I'm not optimistic about them covering it at the reunion if they're not covering it now.
No, I think there's plenty of other tea to cover.
Tea. No one's ever sounded so uncomfortable saying tea.
It was very uncomfortable saying that. I regretted it the second I said it.
It shows. So back at the house, we really just see Brittany. All right. That's still redemption. Brittany, I'm shocked. She wants to punch more people in the throat. I wouldn't have said Tori. Obviously, you wouldn't have said Tori. You like Tori's not your main opposition here, and you're not in with any other alliance with Jenna and Kayla. Like, Brittany, to me, in this episode, more than any episode, in this one moment, demonstrated that she has absolutely like no strategic gameplay or like ability to think in the game.
Yeah, but she just came across very petty, that she just looked very like narrow-minded and just like very like whatever happened to me, that's the only like reasoning behind it. So I'm just pissed. That means she just wanted to make me pissed. So yeah, she didn't really comprehend exactly what was going on.
The biggest mistake you can make as an Are You the One rookie is to rest on Are You the One. Like, there is no Are You the One allegiance in the house. Like, the only thing Are You the One people want to do is get in bed with the challenge people on the women's side.
Yep. Yep. If any of the people that we see come back more and more often, I guess, except for maybe Amanda, are the ones that have, like, cuddled up to them. Like, Dario's, like, sort of in. You see Tori now getting friendly with them. So, yeah.
But look at Amanda's number one alliance is Ashley.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. She has her challenge crew, too.
But she was barely on the real world, so.
Yeah.
So fun. All right, did you like...
Remember the fact that Ashley was on this? Do you remember Ashley being on this season?
Do you remember, like, let's, like, pour some out for Derek, Ashley, like, everybody who was on episode, like, basically the 12 purge. Episodes ago. Yeah.
Yeah, the purge, like, Devin was on this season. Devin, he was on this season.
Nah, oof. You lying. You're playing a dirty game like TJ.
Yeah. Drop that $1 million bombshell finally. That really paid off.
I want to ask you, because this is usually Banana's spot. CT initiates a group hug and a toast that rhymes. Who is this man?
This is the full evolution of CT. We are seeing stage 3 CT. This is the final one. This is him.
I've been playing a lot of Pokemon Go recently.
That's where it was going.
No, and I wasn't planning to talk about this, but like they're really, you know, a lot of evolutions.
Yeah.
Anyways.
He's in his Charizard phase.
Whenever they tell you in a clue that you're going to see what's really going on and you might be surprised, you won't be surprised. That's like a guarantee that they have nothing new to present.
I like their little pun of like you poke your head out. I like that. That was fun.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the last redemption challenge, because I think there's a lot of disappointment to be discussed here.
Yeah, it was for all like I've been praising the challenges through the season. That was like the one real shining point of this season, that I thought the production team really came through there. This was like what I feel like we missed an entire stage of it. That there had to be something else that they just decided to just cut. Because it makes no sense that this was the big battle between like the 10 people left in the redemption house, and they were like, they did this to get whacked with a rubber hammer.
Was this at all an attempt to give, like, if you're looking to plan a season and you know the last redemption house is going to have a good number of the top dogs in the house, is this like a last ditch effort to give the Veronicas of the world a chance as opposed to Cara and Maria. I can't imagine why they would want that. But like, to me, the only reason this makes sense is to give a more even playing field when you can assume who's going to be in the house down the road.
I guess so. But I think you could still, like, even like the first redemption challenge, that with the food and like that was relatively like an even playing field. Like anyone could have theoretically won that. That's not, you know, the big strong person that's gonna necessarily win that one. So this just felt, it was just like flat. Like it was just so quick. Like all of a sudden it was just over.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they didn't expect like people to win so easily in this game. Like you give an even playing field, so you have some real competition. Whereas if you had like the return of the first challenge now, where they're wrestling people one by one, like nobody but Cara has a chance in that on the women's side.
Right.
I agree. I think this was a total fail. We have a lot of questions on that. Jonathan Foreman says, considering how physical and tough the last two redemption challenges were you surprised that the most important redemption challenge was so simple?
I mean, I'm surprised, but I'm also not surprised because MTV has a history of doing this, of like the final challenge before or the final elimination before the final is like a series of puzzles or something not that you epic as you would expect it to be. So it's MTV kind of has a precedent for doing this.
Yeah, no, that's true. The only like thing that didn't pay off for me is the reason that Redemption House has been working is like the challenge, like the eating challenge. I don't think it really worked for the physical challenge the first go around on the platform, although that was more interesting than this. Is like it's a nail biter. It's exciting. Who wants it more? Who's hungriest, literally and figuratively? And this was just, I don't see how they thought it would be a success. I do think it's interesting to incorporate the people who are still in the house to give them a chance to have a say, but that totally failed with the little whack hammers.
I kind of like the aspect of giving some power to the challenges, but this, it felt like the weakest of power. Like, I don't think it, like they can talk up how much it affected them, but unless we're seeing it affect them, that doesn't do much for me. So them saying, oh, their like eyes kind of got jumbled and then they had to redo it. Like that may make it difficult for them, but that doesn't make it entertaining for us. Like they should have had either have them have more impact or just don't let them do anything at all.
Yeah. And if it were actually impactful, there's no way Cara would have won. Like it's just the hammers looked dopey. They were low impact. I got really excited, as I said, when they were incorporated in and then really let down when I saw what their task was. Jeremy Burris said, interesting redemption game. Do you think they were told they can't just stand in front of them to block them? Would have been better than hitting them.
Yeah, or at least, maybe, I guess you could understand that not being able to like stand right in front of them and block them, but why couldn't they hit them like in the face? Like why like hit them on the top of the head? What does that do? Or it should be like, if you get hit like a certain amount of times, you have to go back under, and then you can come back up, and then if you get hit a certain amount of times, you have to go back under. Like, it didn't play at all.
Yeah, I think the issue was the weapon, the little boppy hammer, like wasn't like sturdy enough to like actually make contact with where you wanted to. It was just like it just went totally limp. Yeah. But Jody Hartung says, why did Kayla, Jenna, and Tori not focus on bopping Cara on the head? Why would they bop anyone else?
It's a great question. I have no idea. Maybe they were told not like more than one person can't hit someone at the same time. I don't know. It's very weird that they would focus on anyone else but Cara.
So one of our listeners, and I didn't pull it, responded to this question and said that like potentially they thought Cara was like, or that Camilla was like boxing them out from doing it as opposed to trying to bop anyone else. But I'd have to go back to the tape.
She could box out all three of them. And she's like, I mean, she's a great competitor, but she's also quite small.
Like, I mean, there might be a rule that you can't stand in front of someone. So then if you just like straddle Kara's head, like they can't hit you.
I guess so. Poor execution by this.
Yeah, so basically, Cara bust free first, wins pretty easily. Not really worth talking about anybody else's performance. Mm-hmm. But we do have a question about Cara Maria's, Camilla's reaction. So Camilla's thrilled that Cara Maria's back in the house. Nolan Rossiter says, I get that Camilla likes Cara Maria, but why the hell is she happy she got back into the game? The same game that she now has to beat Cara Maria to win money. If I were these girls, I'd be trying to get Jemmy or Veronica back into the game for an easy win.
That's definitely a good point. I mean, I can understand maybe her wanting to like show reaction to when like in front of Camilla, be like so happy for her, but there should have been a moment where Camilla was like, it's great that Kara's back, but actually she's like a really tough competitor, so that kind of sucks. Also, did Kara give out some type of like apology that she's done with Camilla after the whole shit show that would happen? Was she one of the people that did that?
On Twitter?
Yeah.
She definitely like said something against it, but I don't think she said like she was done with her.
Okay.
I'll go back. But make your point, sorry.
Because that was what I was most like worried about all these people coming out of like their white knight being like, all right, Camilla's is horrible, we can't stand with this, and they're only doing it just to like the Twitter fame and stuff like that. But I was most curious to see what these people would do in the moment on the show when they don't know the reaction, they don't know what everyone's gonna say. And I mean, Kara's like 1,000% standing with Camilla, so I don't know if she did it. I guess maybe she didn't, but I don't want to hear anything from Kara be like, I'm distancing myself from Camilla, all that shit, because it's total BS at that point. This would have been her moment too, and she's not doing it at all, so I don't want to hear from her now.
Okay, so here's what she said. She said, if you do the same behavior season after season, stop that shit, or stop doing challenges. It's a problem, hard to watch. Then she said, to make it clear, I do not support or condone racism. I do support and encourage the way Leroy handled it. End of story. Camilla's not racist. Doubt anyone who knows her would say otherwise. No excuses on her actions. She knows she's wrong. No need to crucify. And then she said, for the record, I spoke with Camilla after nominations. Apologies mean nothing with no change. Repeated behavior is bad. Offered to go sober with her. Glad MTV brought this to light. It's refreshing to see a positive example of how to act in the face of anger. Hate needs to be seen, discussed.
Okay.
So yeah, she said nothing.
Yeah. So I guess that's good for her for just being a scumbag all around, but at least she didn't like go like the Jemmy route and like distance herself from her completely, which is good because it doesn't seem like Jemmy's coming back around, but I'm glad Kara at least didn't do that. So at least she's not a total hypocrite.
Yeah, so I think the thing is, like, I don't know that they knew there would be a purge next and you'd drop six people immediately or drop two people in the next. Like, I don't know that. I think Camilla is excited to see Kara because Kara has Camilla's back and Camilla had been previously alone in the house.
Yep.
I think that's really it. I don't think she's like thinking ahead of what's to come or who can I beat in the final, because that's not really how like Camilla thinks. She's not an intelligent or normal human being. So I think she was just short-sighted. Like, I have an ally again. I could be cool again. And that's it.
Which is fair, because, you know, if someone else comes back and they win, then Camilla will go right back in. But now, I guess, if there was a normal situation, if Kara won, Camilla probably wouldn't be voted in. So it does make sense from that aspect.
And then we have the men. Again, also very low impact. Two men, as predicted last week, would come back. CT finishes first all around, then Jordan, and it's really not even close.
Yep. Yeah. I'm surprised no one else really made it close. I mean, I guess Leroy and Bananas were kind of there at the end, but it, like, not really ever close. So good for CT and Jordan.
I will say CT is the only person I will be okay with referring to himself as daddy. When CT said daddy's home and like the children are in trouble, like that, yeah, that made me laugh instead of cringe, which is a first that I could say for myself.
Because at least he is a dad. That helps.
Yeah, but there's a stark difference between being a dad and being a daddy.
Oh, yeah, but not that one. That's not a theme Morris on either one.
Says, who from Redemption House would you want to bop on the head?
Kara.
She's not in Redemption House. No. Yeah, I mean, who? It's Brittany, Anissa, Jemmy, Kara, Veronica, and none of the women. Kara, maybe. Well, what do I have? Do I have like a real substantial like pool noodle, or do I have the like gimpy hammer they had?
But you're thinking the pool noodle would be substantial? That thing doesn't. I mean, I guess that if you get it on the right angle, that could cause some damage.
Come on over to Ann Arbor. I'll bop you on the head with a pool noodle. You let me know.
Okay.
What about the men?
Dario, 100%.
Yeah. Was he even here? Like,
I don't think so. I don't think he even competed.
Someone said there was a great clip of like Tony hitting Dario, but I miss that.
It may or may not be like the picture of this post, so there you go. I think it was Dario. Now I don't remember. Now I'm questioning myself.
So
knows this will know the answer. Never mind. Keep going.
I just want to know when Banana says be patient, haters, there's plenty more to come. Like, did this make sense to you?
I guess he knows he's never like leaving the show, so he'll just be back to be hated on later, right?
I guess so. I don't know if that Bananas, like, do Bananas like have intense haters this season? I'm usually like the captain of the Rotten Bananas Club, and I didn't give two S's about him.
No, I don't think so. This was definitely one of his more quieter seasons in a while. So quieted the hater crew a little bit.
And we don't have to be patient because MTV's turning out challenges like every 5 seconds.
Yep.
No patience necessary. This is when we find out there are 10 people left 100 episodes into the season, and the game is about to change.
Dun, dun, dun.
Take care, you guys.
Drops the bomb. I did love Tori's, I guess this is actually when she announces it, but that was the bomb drop by TJ. And then scatters.
Just like a crazy, I think TJ like is going to be so sad now that this is over. This has been his most exciting secret. Yeah,
I know. It's a bummer we're not going to get that confessional again for like the 17th time on like a previously.
Before we get to the official big announcement, we have some drama to sort through. They get to go out to dinner, and this pissed me off because Camilla's like trying to fill in Carr about what's been going on, and she's like, "We created a monster." I'm like, "You didn't create shit. Like, stop giving yourself so much credit, Camilla. If anything, if you were a normal, decent human being, you would have had this alliance on your side, but you're the worst, and that's why. Like, you created a quote unquote monster by being horrific." Ugh.
Snap, snap, snap.
I hate her.
I hate her so much. She really is just the worst. Like, she's just the absolute worst. I know this is jumping ahead, but when she's like yelling at Derek, I just want to like claw my hand through the TV and just like whack her on the head and be like, shut up.
I'll loan you my pool noodle.
She's just so bad. Ugh.
And to add to my list of grievances, this like fight between the three most insufferable people in the house besides Camilla and Jordan, Kara and Kayla, mm-hmm. like this conversation between Kara and Kayla is everything I don't like about them individually when they interact with other people. So like they like stand on ceremony a lot and it's like, oh, like, no, you come to me, not me come to you. Like, I'll do it on my terms. And it's for no reason. They just don't have anything else except for this like fake ego trip. And the two of them battling each other on this like fake battle of it was like, I don't want to talk to you tonight. I'm having a good time. You'll have to see how I feel. Like, so annoying. And then Captain Ego can't sit out of a conversation, can't take his own advice to just be happy that he's back in the house, gets involved. And I'm just watching this and I'm like, oh my God, Hunter has become my favorite person in the house. Yeah. How did we get here? Where am I? How long have I been asleep? Yeah, it's horrible.
That trio was Tweedledee, Tweedledum, and Tweedledumber. It was almost, I don't even know what they were arguing about, but it was like, I would have been exactly them. I would have just been like zoning out and just be like, these people are just the worst. They're so annoying. Just stop arguing.
The only thing I was excited about is that we weren't going to have to get that talk because they were going to come to a position where neither of them could like decide whose room it would be and who could accommodate each other's ego. Yep. And that would have been the only benefit, is that we didn't have to see them again. But unfortunately, we do get that talk. But I think Tori has an interesting point here that Camilla or Kara considers herself like the challenge queen, and Kayla is working her way for that title. Like, is that the cause of the friction?
I think it's just Kara's just straight up bitter that she was voted in. I think she just feels that, I don't know how she protected her, but Kara just feels she protected Kayla and Jenna this whole time, and she just betrayed that. I think it's as simple as that.
Yeah, I actually thought Tori was right here until the conversation. Then I agree with you, Brian, because it's almost like Kara came in expecting this like big apology from Kayla. It's like a couple broke up and you walk in like expecting them to beg for you back and you're ready to take them back. And then Kayla's like, yeah, no, like, sorry, we're just going to have to really battle it out. It looked like Kara was looking for a reason to get back in bed with Kayla.
Yeah, I also just don't get Kayla kind of like beating around the bush. Just why didn't you just own the fact that like, Kara, I voted you in because I didn't want to go up against you and I thought this was my best chances to send you home. Like, why didn't you just ever say that? I feel like Kara would have respected that.
Yeah, because Kayla's not good at the game. Like, you see, like, literally Kayla's actually probably the worst at the game. Look at Jenna just going through scot-free here.
Yeah, she even like almost like walked in on the conversation, knew she would have put her foot in her mouth and just scampered off.
I don't even think she would have put her foot in her mouth. I just think she didn't want to deal with it.
Probably that too.
I actually think that Jenna would have been more savvy in a conversation like this with Kara than Kayla.
It's just like just bad from both ends. Like, I don't get what Kara gains from confronting Kayla, and Kayla just didn't own it. Like, that's the biggest thing with all these people. They never just own doing something to benefit them. They never do it. No one does. Except for Veronica.
You know who doesn't do that the least? Your boy.
I know. And that's my one of my biggest pet peeves with him. He never just owns it.
So, I mean, that's the thing with Kara. Like, I really do think that Kara came in expecting, like, had this conversation expecting an apology. Like, she's sitting on her throne at the head of the table at dinner being like, yeah, I'm going to talk to you tonight. And then she comes in basically begging Kayla to say, like, you know, explain yourself, like, you knew I was going to come back. Now I'm back. Like, what do we do now? And Kayla's like, we still don't work together. Bye, bitch.
Right.
It was pointless. It was a very pointless conversation.
It was. It was. And then poor Hunter going off to see the doctor.
Yeah, now some real shit.
Yeah, his wrist does not seem to be in good shape, as we speculated from many weeks ago, or whenever that actually happened.
So if you get put in a position where you're going to heal in 3 weeks if you go home, but if you compete, you could damage your wrist forever, what do you do?
I'm probably
and you don't know it's for $1 million.
Yeah, I'm probably getting the hell out of there.
I think here's the thing. Like, he does get this street cred from CT. I think Hunter really has earned the respect of everyone. We get the like little soundbite of Leroy saying, I hope Hunter wins. He's had the roughest road. Like, I do think that when Hunter comes back next season, it may not be such a hard time for him socially. But
agreed.
If you think about it this way, you keep going in, like, if you leave now, you're going to come back. You're getting cast on the show again, obviously. You're like the only non-bananas person worth a damn right now. If you ruin your wrist by staying, you can never compete again, and you'll never win. So to me, it's like very short-sighted of Hunter and potentially damaging to his entire challenge career to stick around.
Yeah, especially because it's not even like the finals next. Like, he still has to get past a couple people, so I don't know how he would even expect it to make it all the way to the end. So it's very tough.
Yeah. But like, I'm not at all surprised.
Yeah. Like, if he all had to do was just like find a way to finish a final and he was guaranteed, you know, whatever the 15,000 or I guess now, whatever it is, like, I can understand him doing it. But there's still a few more steps before that even would have happened. So I don't see how he expected to get through it.
Yeah. We'll see about that. It is sad, though. It is like a sad turn for Hunter, who has battled more than anybody to get through. And this is not an Anissa ankle injury. Like, this is fully cast. Can't feel three of his fingers.
Yep.
Sadness.
Poor baby.
All right, so let's get to the challenge. This is where TJ really drops the bomb. He's been doing some big moves. He's been playing dirty. He's been reading the script that he's contractually obligated to read.
They're playing for $1 million.
Was that a poor Dr. Evil impression?
I'm the worst at impressions. Every few weeks I try to do one and it never works out. So that's it for the rest of the season.
Just claim that you were actually doing Tori doing Dr. Evil. And then,
yeah, that's what I was
like
doing.
You could blame
an impression
her.
Of an impression.
Yeah.
Yes. But Tori's was good. Tori is hysterical. You know what, Adam? I'm also claiming I love her and Jordan together. I think they would be a fantastic couple.
I think they are a couple.
Well, I'm saying I think they would be.
Well, I think they're both crazy. Like, I don't know. We now know, like, a wide variety of the people that Tori has dated. We know Mike. We know Morgan. We know Derek. And potentially we know Jordan.
And Morgan.
And that's Mike.
I thought it was someone else.
No, Morgan's roommate was Mike from The Real World and Are You the One?
JK.
So, and then Mike cheated on her with Jordan on The Real World.
Okay.
So, I just want better for Tori. Like, Jordan sucks. It's making Jordan a lot more fun. I think that Tori makes Jordan much better and more tolerable, and I'm rooting for him when they're together, and they're fun, and he's doing the petting the cat thing while she does the Dr. Evil thing, and they're both lunatics. But, like, on his own, I want better for Tori. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, world.
Jordan is tough in, like, large increments to deal with. His personality can get grating, and that's like the one thing going back to the car fight. I can understand her getting like fed up with him. He is very tough to probably deal with on a one-to-one basis for a long period of time.
Yeah, I hope to never have to experience it. Although this is the closest I've been, 15 episodes with him, and I'm gassed out on Jordan. Mm-hmm. So all right, so 350,000. It's actually 1 million. I think the real dirty thing would have been to say that you're competing for 1 million and then halfway through the episode, the season, you tell them it's actually only 350,000.
That would be real. Yeah, that would be pretty dirty. That would cause much different reactions.
So they set this up right before the second purge, which was teased, I don't know, 6 months ago. I feel like I was a mere child when this was teased. Mm-hmm. How do you feel like now that we finally see how this plays out, the cash announcement and the second purge at this stage, what do you think?
I don't think they ever, I can understand they wanted to wait a little bit, but I don't see why they waited until now to announce the $1 million. They announced it after like the first redemption or at any point earlier. I just don't see what it gained. Like you would have had this exact reaction earlier and I guess with more people. So I don't know.
So I get, I agree with you that this like reaction wasn't special, but if they're going to do it, I'm glad they did it now only because I'm going to be so sick of hearing about this is $1 million. It's like the first episode with Dirty. And I feel like we'd be hearing like $1 million beating us over the head all season.
Right.
So at least we only have a couple episodes with that. But I do like that it is followed up immediately by a purge. Like that to me made this a little bit more interesting where, okay, now you're competing for $1 million and six of you are about to bounce.
Yeah. Tori's reactions are A plus. Like the way her like face just contorts to like every body of being is just hysterical.
Yeah. So they have to, with this news, they have to pick their own teams. Rick W. Jane says, how ridiculous was it that they let them pick their own teams, especially with Hunter injured?
Yeah, I didn't like that at all. Just have it all be individual. Because at this point, it's now it's like the best people could just all team up against. Like if you're doing like this type of purge, just let it all be individual. Like you could have done this individual. Why not just do the whole thing individual?
See, I like that there are teams. That's not my complaint. And I actually like that they got to pick teams. Like part of this is a social game. You know, come in ready with having a relationship with your best partner. I think it is interesting that like Camilla and Derek, no one really wanted to work with them right away. Derek tries a nice spin to say like, oh, they have to prove this to themselves, but that's not really convincing. And I think Hunter's injury sucks, but like the way he did it was sort of honorable where he said like he just stood there and let the girl come to him. So it wasn't like he guilted anyone. And I do think it's interesting that Kayla and Jenna, all of Kayla's talk, they got screwed. Like they're with Jenna's with Tony. Camilla's with the injured Hunter. I'm sorry. Kayla's with the injured Hunter. And you have Kara and CT, Jordan and Tori, Hunter. I'm sorry. And Camilla and Derek. And like this to me speaks volumes. Like this to me speaks what the mallet challenge didn't of like where people actually do stand. So they're going to have to run at least part of the final in some sort of team configuration.
I'm fine with that. I just like when it's everyone mixes with everyone. I don't like when it's you just get the one person. That's my only beef.
Which is why I like that they had the agency to pick. If they had a draw out of a hat and just like someone got screwed, that I wouldn't have liked as much. I like that if they're going to do teams like this, that they had some sort of agency with it.
That's fair.
Not that it really would have mattered. Like I feel like this was very determined from the start of what was going to happen here. This was not close and most interesting. You and I love when they do sort of like a mini final. Yep. This was like the most like, let's see what they have. They're running, they're doing puzzles, they're moving crates. What'd you think of this challenge?
I liked mostly how they didn't explain the entire challenge at the beginning. And after like each stage, they would explain what they're going to do. I like that a lot more. That's something I wish Survivor would do. Cause when they're like rambling on about what they're doing, I find myself zoning out. And then halfway through, I'm like, what are they supposed to do right now? So I like when they're like, okay, here's stage one. We'll tell you the rest later and just focus on this. And then like, okay, this is what they're all doing now. And then this is what they're all doing now. For a simple mind like me, I kind of like that.
Yeah, I actually really liked that too. A little voiceover element, but I do miss like just the nostalgia of them like rush reading, just like the instructions on a sign.
You know, and they're like, that's also
are you going to take two ropes? You're going to have to match the ropes to the mat. Okay, go. And then they have to like go back because they misread the sign. Like, I do love the low production value of that.
Yeah, that also adds the element of people like misreading the sign too and then doing something completely wrong, which I feel like we've seen before.
Yeah. So This pissed me off when Jordan gets his like little heroes moment of I go on the show to show people with disabilities that you could do anything. It's like, yeah, you could do anything besides like be tolerant about people with disabilities. Like, we have not forgotten Jordan. Like, we didn't wake up yesterday.
That also feels like four seasons ago. Holy crap.
I did not forget.
I sort of did.
All right. So everybody's at the checkpoint where you have to take. Somebody actually wrote to us this week that they don't watch the show anymore because MTV is not on their package. So the challenge is they have different size ropes with numbers and they have to do sort of like a Sudoku-esque where the two poles have to add to the number on the rope and they have to make a little puzzle like that.
Yeah.
That's the best I could do for summarizing challenges. You know, it's not my strength.
You did very well.
Meanwhile, they're all on that checkpoint and Jenna and Tony and Kayla and Hunter still haven't gotten this crate open. What the hell's going on?
I mean, I feel for Hunter, like he's trying to do this with one hand and I can't imagine. I don't really have a lot of opening crates experience, but I imagine you probably need two hands. So doing that with one, although I guess Jordan did it with one hand.
Yeah.
But,
Will from America was like, just ask Jordan how to open.
Yeah. But for Tony, I mean, that's pretty bad. Like, get it open, dude.
I also think the difference with Hunter is like Hunter's in a lot of pain with his hand.
That's true.
Like, also, Hunter doesn't have like a functioning two fingers and painless like palm.
Right.
Like, he can't feel three of his fingers. Imagine he's in a lot of pain.
And a lifetime of experience of doing things with one plus hand.
Right. But yeah, that's pretty pathetic. Like, but we get this like first foray, if you'll recall, audience, Brian and myself. Tori is rumored to cheat on her boyfriend, Derek. Jordan seems to be getting teased as the liaison. Tori says that he's an attractive competitor. Not sexy, though, because she has a boyfriend. And Mike Christensen says, did either of you remember Tori had a boyfriend? It's been ages since she mentioned him.
Again, this, it really does feel like three seasons. Like, she, that used to be every word out of her mouth. Well, my boyfriend has said this, and my boyfriend did that. So it's good to hear her say that word again.
Is it?
Very sarcastic.
But yeah, so they have this cute little moment. Jordan freely lets Tori go ahead. So they get into this position where the two of them have to dig up two bags of puzzles, but most of the women run off with their puzzle bag first. I like that they had an individual component here, and it made for great comedy when Derek and Camilla get to the dirt clod and one bags out and Camilla desperately asks Derek if she can go ahead. Randy Newpool says, how satisfying was it when Derek wouldn't let Camilla abandon him to work on the puzzle?
Yep, I love it. Good for him. He's like, you know what, I'm playing, this is a dirty game, I want to win too. So good for him for standing up for himself. If Camilla wanted to, she could have just left. Like, he wasn't like handcuffed to her.
Yeah, but Camilla likes having someone to blame for her loss. Like, she had time with the puzzle. Not as much time, but I mean, she was there. She lost.
She did indeed. Facts.
So CT wins the whole thing, even letting Kara go ahead. Kara wins for the women. Tori, second place. And my question is, did they have to knock the puzzles over? Because if you're Tori and you win for the women, there's no point left in protecting the puzzle from the women. You're next to Jordan. Why not leave your puzzle for him to look at?
It seemed like they had to, because when Jordan won, didn't like Tori yell at him, like, knock over the puzzle, knock over the puzzle?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So I think that was something you had to do.
And Jordan was missing a piece the whole time. Like, that's killer. A theme this season on reality television. So Tori does end up helping him, pointing that out.
Yep. Yep.
PJ Gaughan says, do you think that since Tori, Jordan, Kara, and CT were so far ahead of everyone, they should have helped each other to ensure they all make the final?
I mean, they could have, but you're not going to help someone in the moment. First, you're going to solve it for yourself. And then, I mean, at that point, I guess CT could have helped Jordan, but I don't know what he really has to gain from it.
Yeah, I don't think that this is like, maybe if it were like Kara and Camilla, but Tori and Kara aren't really a tight pair, and I don't think you'd want to go against them over the field. I don't know if PJ meant like Tori should have helped Jordan more, or CT should have helped Kara more, but I don't really think that this was something anyone should have taken liberties with to help anyone else.
Yeah, I don't. It doesn't really benefit you at all at any point. Unless you're trying to help, unless one of them is like a weaker person, you want to do that, but none of them were, so.
Yeah, so we have TJ. Nope, that's the question asker. TJ comes in, says, there's one spot left, one more woman, and one more man will go to the final. The field is Hunter, Tony, and Derek for the men, Camilla, Jenna, and Kayla for the women. Any predictions here?
I mean, normally I would say Hunter, but considering his situation, I'd say Derek is probably the favorite. And for the girls, and I mean, unfortunately, probably Camilla's the favorite.
Yeah, I agree with that. I've been suspicious, like everybody else, that Camilla's going to the end here. And that's sort of why we've gotten a little bit of this, like, Camilla, where they've been, like, burying her. I also, too, think that there's no way that Hunter is going to be able to come back from this injury. Like, he's useless. Like, there's no way he would have struggled with that crate without that arm, which indicates how bad it is.
Yeah, he could have won that one without the injury, which is quite unfortunate. So
Randy Newpel says, how should we as an audience feel that three? I love telling people how to feel that three of the four guaranteed finalists had been previously eliminated, and three of the other six remaining potential finalists were previously eliminated as well.
I mean, I'm more surprised that no one was a two-time eliminated person. I think everyone basically spent time with the Redemption House, so I don't see why it's an issue, really.
Yeah, especially when you have, like, things where CT, Jordan, and Kara all got just sent there directly, right? Like, that's...
Yeah.
Right? Wow, they were all in that funny boat. So,
yeah,
like,
CT, Kara, Jordan, and who was the other one?
Now I'm not even remembering. Veronica, right?
Was Veronica the... Kara, who got sent in directly last week? Because Kara was the first one sent directly in.
Let's go to Wikipedia. But in the meantime, I will say that I don't feel, for some reason, I don't feel slighted by this because it's been such a known quantity in the house that people have been able to account for. And
there was three of them. Like,
yeah. And three of the four everyone got a chance at this. Three of the four confirmed finalists were just, like, almost unfairly just, like, sent out of the house because they're the best competitors. If they had a shot to compete and lost and then came back, maybe that would be different. But it doesn't really bother me because the season has been so topsy-turvy.
Yeah, exactly. There's been so much redemption that, like, you're bound to have at least one, probably two, in the people in the final who were there.
So it looks, is this right that Jemmy was the one who got sent in right away?
I guess so. That
Wikipedia is so damn, no, Jemmy and Camilla competed. So wasn't it Victoria? Veronica? I'm sorry, guys. This is really annoying that we don't know this, but this has been a lot to keep track of, and Wikipedia is not easy. Jeez. You'd think they would have something that just said, like, these people got instantly eliminated.
Right. Yeah.
Or it was just Kara and CT and Jordan.
Well, there had to be a girl that got sent in directly last week.
Who is there? Anissa, Veronica, Jemmy, Kara.
I think it was Veronica.
And Brittany. Brittany competed against Camilla.
Yeah.
I think it was Veronica also.
I think it was Veronica.
Okay, sorry, everyone. We suck. I know you'll correct us, whatever. right. So do you feel slighted by this?
By people coming back from Redemption?
Yeah, like that most likely our winners are going to be Redemption people.
It's totally cool. That was basically the theme of the season, so it's fine.
Yeah, agreed. Jennifer Jones says, in the preview for next week, it looks like someone is going to be hurt after mandatorily jumping off a helicopter. Thoughts on this?
That sounds brutal. Hopefully they're okay. Hopefully it's not Hunter again. That would be really, really bad.
Yeah, my reaction is bummer. I think it's going to be fine. I think they just have a rough tumble and the meta comes, but, like, it's fine. That's why we're seeing it. I never expect a payoff. Not that people, like, dying would be a payoff, but, you know.
Never forget, they teased Zach's death, and that wasn't the right.
So we have before I get to Twitter updates, which we have a nice little chunk of some Jordan drama. I just want to thank everyone. We have two monumental achievements here.
Oh boy.
Milestones on our iTunes charts. I don't know if you noticed this. So first of all, was that a fart or a trumpet?
I was trying to do a drum roll, but I knew it, like, if I hit the, I don't know if this would play.
So that,
so I just like did it with my mouth. And that
do you hear this?
So no, I don't.
Okay, cool. So without further ado, we have achieved our 200 and surpassed our 200 goal of 5-star reviews. We are at 207. Thank you, everyone, combined with the challenge and Are the One. And our average rating, which is 4.5 stars, is now a full 5 stars, which I didn't even have as a goal. So
wow.
Thank you, guys. We really appreciate knowing that you guys are out there enjoying it, listening to us, giving us feedback. I really can't thank you enough. It made my day to see that. I check all the time for these reviews. Really, really appreciate it.
No, nowhere to go but down.
So thank you to Crows Girl 15, Golf Girl 318. A lot of girls in the house. Love it. Women power. Lex Nick 93, Ashmo 2005, RC 80. Always cared. I like that. Never cared. Always cared. And BGLL. Really, really appreciate it. Can't say it enough. I don't know if we are going to have another goal going into the season, but the goal should just be to make us smile and give us your feedback and support if you choose. You could do that at robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Ugh. Okay. So now let's get to the Twitter stuff. See, I like treated that like an advertisement. It is.
We're advertising ourselves. We're the sponsor of our podcast.
If you can't sell yourself, you know, who can?
Exactly.
All right. So Megan Schultz, Megan Elizabeth, our digital communications manager, actually sent us an email before the episode happened because Jordan was on one. Jordan said, PSA, Tori Deal and I aren't dating. We just hook up with mad girls together. Also, if you're hot and interested, DM us, hashtag send nudes. Cool. Tori sent a picture of herself in the wilderness and said, I've been staying off social media because some of the shit people tweet at me. I just hope you realize that everyone at MTV is a real person, which we can choose whether or not we want to have the like their characters. We're not trying to attack them, the blah, 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 but we're not tweeting at them. I don't think we need to have that conversation.
Correct. They're just characters.
I'm a real person. Nobody gives a shit when they talk, say stuff about me.
Exactly.
I'm not really a real person. Okay. I don't know. Like, Jordan is just, like, retweeting and saying F Kara Army a lot. Everyone all butthurt at my little old opinion. I call him like I see him, and I don't want her on my team, referring to Kara. When it's time to run, eat it, I'm gone. Let's do math. Kara has done 11 challenges, won one stellar record, bro. Next thing you're going to tell me is I'm not invited to your birthday party, LOL, in responding just to, like, some person being mad. Oh, this is so stupid. I love to play the game. Tired of P words getting their feelings hurt. Play. Jordan is, like, really soon going to just be tweeting, the game is flawed.
Love Jordan tweets. I love a pre-stock thing ready to go.
Talking about... I think Kara and Camilla, he said, I hate their attitudes. Kara and Camilla both have only won one after 11, and Kara won a season of half noobs. Sweet, I guess. I hate when people come from each other's records. Like, that is so lazy.
Yeah, that's to me is like the equivalent of coming out there like someone's follower count.
Yeah, like keep beating that drum, Jordan. Then he said, told CT straight to his face in the same combo that I would drag his ass in a final. I shit on everyone evenly. Yeah, because you dragged his ass in this like puzzle crate challenge. I'm definitely think you'd drag his ass in a challenge.
Yep.
Cool, brah. Okay. So we have another email of a couple things from Bananas I don't even want to talk about. Bananas just tweeting some bitterness. So he wrote, $1 million. That's why I'm out. If I was still there, I'd take it all and run. And then I'm just like displeased that I have to say this. Tony's like struggling to get in the crate. And Banana says, wow, T Reigns, didn't think I'd ever see you have trouble getting into a box. Hashtag the challenge XXX.
Right up.
So we read those tweets for you. Thank you for the reviews, getting me through the Twitter. I think that's it.
I really hope Megan adds this to a resume. This is like a Fantastic work by her.
I would be happy to write her a reference.
Absolutely.
But she's more qualified than me at the job that both of us are pursuing right now. So I don't think she needs me as a reference for anything.
Ooh, competitor.
Meaning she already graduated law school. So you don't usually have law students write lawyers letters of recommendation.
We're bucking the trends here.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Let's go.
All right. That'll do it for this week. We got episode 16 next week. We'll have to throw a little party for a sweet 16 of the Challenge 30-30. You can follow me on Twitter at @ColinBryant_, and they can follow you.
At Lash Tweets.
And what about the My Party app? I still haven't checked that out. But
oh, yeah. You can follow me at Allie Lasher on the My Party app. It's fun. We're having a good time.
Okay, well, sounds like a party.
Check it out for either one.
Until next week.
This weekend.
All right. Until then, have a good one.